testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. The statutes of the rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And in keeping of them there is great reward.
I have a title for this teaching. The title is His Life Worked Out in Me as It Was in His. His life worked out in me as it was in His. Heavenly Father, grant that each of us here within the heart, Lord, remove any hardness of heart, for the word will not profit anything. And we thank you now for the Holy Spirit who is going to lead and guide and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. His life worked out in me as it was in His. The Deeper Life teaching is all about less of you and more of Him. The deeper life, as we've received over the years, it's all about the Holy Spirit taking over our lives. And in order for Him to do that, it's a yielding over to the Spirit. And we have learned over the years that God has used various means, trials and tests, in which to work this yielding. We don't yield in the natural. We're not obedient in the natural. We're willful. We're stubborn. We want to do things independently. But we find that you cannot do that with God, because God is sovereign. God gets nothing wrong. And so He has to provide and work through these hearts, changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, in which to work His lordship in and through each of us. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, it's His life worked out in me as it was in Jesus Christ. A saint that walked closely with God, a godly saint, said this: your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is, your body is the Bethlehem of the Son of God. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem in that stable, so when you became a new creation, you received Christ as your Saviour, that was your Bethlehem experience. So the question we raise then is His Son, through the Holy Spirit, being given His opportunity to work through you and me. is his son having the opportunity to work through you and me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the question, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, we see an example where Jesus was absolutely one with his Father. And we get no clearer illustration of this than in John 11, John chapter 11 and verse 41, where he's called to raise Lazarus. Lazarus has been dead for days, and he comes. They don't know what is going to happen, but he's turned up. And here we take it in verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." A short prayer, direct, absolutely positive. He says, "Father, I thank you, you have heard me." And one of the greatest miracles took place. Lazarus came forth from the dead. Now, what do we learn here in all of this? Well, we learn that God always hears the prayers of his son. And Jesus knew that experientially. He knew he was one with his Father, and whatever he asked of the Father would grant. And that should be our same experience as well when we pray. The Holy Spirit has come baptizing us so that we too have that experience that we are one with Christ, one with the Father, and that what we pray, God will hear. In other words, you have become so sensitive, you have become so one with Christ, that you know that when you pray, they are his prayers interceding and praying in and through you. And that you know that they will be answered. That is ultimately what God is working within those who want to go on deeper with him. What does it say in Galatians chapter 4? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Galatians 4 and verse 19. "My little children, for whom I labour in birth again, until Christ is formed in you." The apostle, he saw this as well. He saw in his labour, his ministry, that Christ would be formed in the believers. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The gospel, the Christian message, your salvation, my salvation, is not about you. It's not about me. It is about Jesus Christ. He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." The gospel, Christ, is not about us. It is about him. But sadly, the church is so proud, so arrogant, men parading themselves in their ministries, boasting what God is doing for them and how big their church is and so on. That is not what it's about. All we boast about is Christ in me, the hope of glory, if you are to boast. It isn't about us. And that is the pride that's killing and paralyzing so much of Christendom today. And that is what God deals with you and I. That is what has to be put to death in our lives, is that pride. Because that pride is that independent spirit. I will do it my way. I will worship God how I see fit. And it never works. Because the Holy Spirit, he's come to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, to show us how to worship God. to show us how to walk and live and pray the prayer of faith, how to listen to the word of God. He is the sovereign work within our lives. His life is exactly being worked out in my life. The life that was being worked out by the Father in Jesus is the same life that's being worked out in me. It's no different through the Holy Spirit. So the prayers he prayed are being worked out in me. So the very prayers that I'm praying, my intercessions, are the prayers that Jesus is praying in and through you and me. And that is why we can have the confidence that Jesus had when he prayed and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." One of the greatest miracles performed there. That is what God is wanting to work through you and I when we pray, because we are one with the Father. We are not separated from him. We have received his fullness. I am one with Christ through the Holy Spirit. So that when I pray, I am praying those prayers, and the Father will always hear the prayers of his Son. Because I am one with him and he is one with me. That is what faith is about. That is what our prayer life should be about. That should be your experience as a Christian if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. What does it say in John 16 and verse 26? Well, take it from verse 25 of John 16, verse 25. "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about my Father," which he's doing. That is what the Holy Spirit is teaching us. That's why we cry out, "Abba, Father." "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I have come forth from God. And I came forth from the Father and have come into the world, and again I leave the world and go to the Father." In other words, what he's saying there, I will come back to you through the Holy Spirit, which he said he would do. I will come back to you and I will be your prayers. I will be your guidance. I will be your healing. I will be your deliverance. I will be your teaching. I will be your walk. I will be love through you. It isn't about you and I. All we are to do is to yield up to the Spirit and allow him to do that work in our lives. We don't, because we resist him with our pride, with our religious wrong teachings. And that is why we need deliverance, and the word of God is deliverance to us, because that's what he's saying here. He's saying, "We will come back to you." And so when you pray, you will be praying the prayers of the Son of God in you through the Holy Spirit. And you will have that same confidence that Jesus had there when he raised Lazarus. "Father, I thank you, you've heard me." That should be your experience and my experience. When we pray, "Father, I thank you, you have heard me. Well, I'm one with you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." So when is it? The day is when we are one with him. Jesus revealed his unconditional submission to the Spirit of his Father within him. He never resisted his Father. He was completely submitted to him, one with him. And that's what he's doing with you and I, if we let him. What does it say in John 8? John 8, verse 28, 29. John 8, 28, 29. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." That is your experience now. That is what should be worked in us, through Christ in us now. So we lift the Son of God up. He says, "If I will be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You will know that I am he, because flesh and blood cannot reveal it. You will know who is in your life. And you will know that you do nothing of yourself. It doesn't lie in you or me. But as the Father is teaching you, you speak those things. You pray those things. And he who sent me is with me. So he sends you. The Father, through Christ, sends you. You're not alone. And you do those things that please him, that glorify his name." Can you not see how you can put yourself there as well if you're in Christ? So the day is when you're one with him. You can pray these prayers, the prayer of faith, and you will know it has been answered, it has been granted. Because you are so one with the one who's in your life, Jesus Christ, ministered to you through the Holy Spirit. To the extent we are fully yielded to the Spirit, will we also know his fullness? So, brothers and sisters, to the extent that you are yielded to the Spirit, you are experiencing today. That is why you have faith for today. Yesterday is no good. It's gone. You have faith. You have the mercy of God for today. And to the extent you are yielded is to the experience you will have of his fullness. And that is entirely up to you. You have a free will. It's how far you want to go. This is why it's the deeper life. You see, the Holy Spirit came for this very purpose. And so many don't see this. He's come baptizing you so that you experience, as you yield, his fullness. Of his fullness you have received. And that fullness is endless. There's no end to it. It goes on and on and on. I'm reminded of the parable of the sower. It was the hard ground which couldn't yield to the seed sown and therefore couldn't produce any fruit. And that's why God has to do heart surgery on us. He's continuing to change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. If he doesn't do this, you won't yield fruit. In other words, you won't experience his fullness because the word you're listening to isn't doing anything. It's simply going on hard ground. You're unyielded. You're not yielding over to the Spirit. So what is the nature then of our yielding? Well, the nature is you. It means every thought, deed, aims, purposes, all the desires is brought willingly under the direction and control of the Holy Spirit. I bring my entire being under his lordship. That's what it means. Now you have to settle that, and then the Holy Spirit, he starts to do that work. and he'll take over. You see, my whole being is brought under his lordship of Christ. Now, human nature hates control. In your flesh, you hate control. And that is why the cross has to do its work. And that is why when the Holy Spirit, he works on you, don't resist him. Just simply yield over. We still are arguing and resisting God at times. And that's why we lose our peace. We fall out with one another. Or we disfellowship ourselves. Or whatever it is. They're the classic symptoms. Many who are not with us, who should be with us fellowshipping, is because they're still arguing with God. They have a problem with him. But they can't be honest. They use, well, there's something wrong with the church, or the teaching isn't to my liking, or I can't find the love there as there should be. They're the lies that often come out. But it's really, the problem is, they don't want to yield. They don't want to yield over to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And sadly, God starts to become their enemy. But they're blinded to it. They can't see. And then they fall into religious ways. And you know the rest of the story. We've seen it happen over and over again. Sadly. They simply pay lip service to God. And you know those who pay lip service to God because there's no actions to them. It's just all talk. We know the Spirit's working with us. We know this scripture very, very well. And this again should be our experience in Philippians 2, 12, 13. Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. It's his good pleasure that he does this. He takes pleasure in us when he can work his will through us. But we have to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. Because at the end of the day, you're the one that you allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in and through you. He's not going to force himself upon you. God doesn't do that, unlike man does. So this yielding then over to God, obviously, is not a loss of freedom of will, like communism. That is control, that's witchcraft. That's not how God works. It's a surrendering up to God to work his perfect will through our will. You've willingly chosen to do it, the same as you've willingly chosen to take up your cross daily and follow him. Now, of course, we're all a work in progress. I know that. But you see, yielding isn't something we do. It's an affection. It's an attitude of the heart. It's simply not resisting him when he begins to work, but just to yield over. In other words, I'm always saying, let go. Because letting go is really the absence of resistance. It's not fighting him. You see, the reason I make so much of this, so much in the teachings, is because you cannot overcome the flesh in yourself. And we still at times try to do it. We try to overcome in the flesh and you will fail. You've already failed before you even try. And that's what religion does. That's why God is opposed to religion, because it's trying to worship God and overcome in the flesh. And you can't. Christ overcame the flesh at Calvary. It's simply not resisting the Holy Spirit in you when he tries to teach us. So, in other words, we're here today, he's teaching us. Now, we either believe that or we don't. So if we believe it, no matter how challenging it might be, and so often it's got our name and address on it, but it's not fighting that. It's yielding over to it. And as you hear it, yes, Lord, just work that within me. And he will. And that's how you get the seed sown into your heart for those changes. Or it's when he disciplines us. And any father who loves will discipline. And God disciplines us. The same as parents, we are to discipline our children because it's a sign we love them. Children have to be taught boundaries. And the same with God. He has to teach us so we don't resist it and get all offended and upset, but just allow him to do that work, just yielding over. Or when he chastises us, because if he doesn't do that, that's a sign we're illegitimate. We don't belong to him. He's let us have free rein. But we're going to bear the consequences. But no. He's going to chastise. He's going to come sometimes heavy on us. And instead of getting all offended and upset, like some have done and gone off, we just yield to it. And you know what? It's not very long. And it's not as bad as you thought, because the enemy tries to blow it all out of proportion. Or he may lead us into a trial. Instead of resisting it, running away from it, just yield to it. And let him do that work and purification. Or he's going to prove our faith. Sometimes our faith has to be tried and tested. Instead of fighting it, just yield over. It's that passive state. God hasn't called you to fight with him. There's still too many Christians fighting God. He hasn't saved us for that. All he saved us for is to settle it. And that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest. He's working his life in and through you. He's working his nature, his holiness, everything that he is. He's working that in and through you, through the Holy Spirit, who he said, I will send. The Holy Spirit represents Jesus. It is him in your life that's come to take over. You can't love your enemy. Don't even try and attempt to do it. But as you yield over to the Spirit, the one who is within you will love and embrace your enemy. And it goes for everything. It goes for your confession. It goes for your prayers. So when you pray next, and you go into your closet, which we're told to do, you expect and believe the one who is in you will reveal to you how to pray. And to pray those prayers that the Father will hear and answer. Believe that. Ask for it. Ask for that experience. And you watch. You will begin to see your prayer life taking on another form. You'll begin to rise up, not in yourself, but in the power of His Spirit. That's why I've called us to go into prayer for the next 4 days, from Monday onwards, into that spiritual warfare. You can't go into spiritual warfare. The one in you who has overcome the powers of darkness, who has triumphed at Calvary, is the one who is going to war in and through you as we yield over. And all he's asked of us is, yes, Lord, I will do it. Not to question it or whatever. We still question too much. The Holy Spirit, he will reveal. He never makes a mistake. He wants us simply to yield over and to believe. And as we make ourselves available, then the Spirit will do it. because there has to be a pushing back of the powers of darkness as the sons of God are maturing and coming forward. Once we're taken out, we're gone. As I've said before, it's going to be like hell let loose on earth for a season. We keep it at bay. The reason we go into warfare, the reason we're doing is because it enables us, the church, to mature and to come into our fullness. These things that are coming upon the earth, the mark of the beast that's coming, and all of this stuff is to try and abort and destroy the Christian church. That's what they are in nature. The spirit of this age is to try and destroy the Christian church. And yet most Christians are asleep to all of this, with their heads buried in the sand. The reason we rise up in the spirit is for this very purpose, because the man-child is developing, is coming forth. And the enemy doesn't want that. That's why the dragon's right there, to destroy the man-child. But our warfare, our prayers, Christ in us, praying through us, keeps that dragon at bay. And he will not destroy the man-child that had come forth. It's hearing what the Spirit is saying. No, I don't always understand it sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense. But I'm not going to question it. I trust the one who lives in me, who walks in me, talks through me, prays through me, and everything. He's the one I trust. I don't trust in myself. The moment I trust in myself, that is pride rising up. That is why God's weakening us, delivering us for that very purpose, that we live by the power of the Spirit of God. It's for that very purpose. So the question is, do we exhibit in our flesh? Do we exhibit Jesus Christ? Or am I still exhibiting that pride and that independent spirit? Only you can answer that question. And only our walk each day reveals to us whether I was manifesting Christ or I was manifesting flesh. And you know it. It's revealed to you. You come back and you know, Lord, that didn't edify you. That didn't glorify your name. That wasn't you. That was me. That was pride, unbelief coming out. And we know what to do. We get that under the blood of the Lamb. And then we ask the Lord to change us in that area. That's how you grow. That's how you overcome. And only a saint who humbly walks before God sensitively experiences that. The Holy Spirit can be very, very sensitive. And he's going to show you those things. And he's going to show you, no, that wasn't right. That wasn't me. That was you. He's making us completely dependent on him. And for some, that is good news. And for others, that terrifies them. And that is why God has to do this work as he is doing. Is his life worked out in me as it was in his son, Jesus Christ? That is the question, because it's no different. We still have this idea, well, this was done in Jesus, but he was God and the Son of God and so forth. Yes, he was. He's the Son of Man now. His purpose, his mission was in which to redeem the world. That was the ultimate thing. You're not called to do that. But the working of the Spirit in him is the same working in you and I. And that is why it says we're being changed from glory into glory. The very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, raised him up into a new humanity, a new body, is the work that's happening in you and me. As we yield more and more and we allow the risen Christ to take over in our lives, that's the change from glory into glory. That's the resurrection life taking over in your life, in your flesh. Now, this moment. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I know it's mind-boggling. I know maybe you have never thought of it like that, but that is what it's about. So we being one with him, we know then that in our ministry, in our prayers, what he does through us, we know that the Father will hear, because he never denies the Son, and the Son lives in you. And he's the one you yield over to. That's why we say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so in that day, when you pray, as the Bible says, he will hear. He will not deny you. Whatever you pray in the Father's name, I will give it. And your prayers, what you are praying, is because Christ in you is praying that through you. Christ in you wants to reach out to this dying world. Christ in you wants his prayers to pray through you for your loved ones, for those around you, that God will have mercy over their soul, that their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are going to come to a place shortly, brothers and sisters, when you hear prayers coming out of your mouth, you are going to know they are the prayers Christ is praying through and asking the Father, because you are one with him. That is the experience the sons of God are coming to. And you won't, you'll just believe. There are many that God, Jesus still wants to heal. There are many today he still wants to heal, and he wants to heal them through you and through me. His ministry hasn't changed. Although he's seated at the right hand of the Father, he has sent the Holy Spirit back in order to do that through the church. The trouble is, we don't believe. We doubt. But as we yield to the Spirit and not resist him and let him have his way, he's going to do the greater works through us. It's not you doing it, it's he doing it through you and me as we yield over. That's why Jesus said, I do nothing except what the Father reveals to me. And we're exactly the same. We do not know anything unless it is revealed. And yet you have so many who think they know, but it's a fleshly interpretation. It's of the flesh. You're not of the flesh, you're of the Spirit. Those who walk in the Spirit are the sons of God. Read Romans 8. And that is what he's doing. And we're coming into this, brothers and sisters. We're aware of these changes in our lives. We're aware that it's not about you, about me. It's about him. We're becoming aware that we only want to represent him. The world must see Jesus. It mustn't see us. There's still so much flesh in the house of God. We've got to start walking in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to start to have his way in our lives. And in order to do that, he has to humble the house of God. And that's why I believe at the moment the true remnant is being humbled. He's dealing with that pride, that independent spirit. Because otherwise God resists us, as it says in the word. You know, we can't go wrong in this if we did but know it. We cannot go wrong. The Holy Spirit has come to take over. Just simply yield to him. Don't fight him. Resist him. If it means a trial, then let him take you through it. If it means your faith is going to be tested, let him take you through it. If it means whatever it is, just let him take you through it, because that is the way you experience more of Christ and less of you. How will we know otherwise unless we have these experiences? All that we read, all that we hear, all that the Holy Spirit teaches us must be translated into experiences. Else how will we know Christ? We won't. He'll only just be some figment of the imagination or phantom, just reading the scriptures. The Word of God is alive, it is real, and it is translated in reality into our lives. It becomes our experience. That's why it's our manna that we feed off. It's our life, it's what sustains us and keeps us. That's why faith comes as we hear the Word of God. Instead of fighting, resisting that, simply yield over and let him do that work. And he'll do it. And you will see the works that you do are not your works, they're the works of the Spirit of God, doing it in and through you. And he says, I will give you those words. I will empower you for what is needed. I will do it, not you. That is why, as I close, John the Baptist was the great prophet, because he had a revelation that when he saw Messiah, when he saw Jesus, he said, I decrease, that he increases. He saw it. Yet how many Christians today who confess that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they are so blinded to the fact that it is less of me and more of him. I decrease, that he increases. That is the reason you are saved, for the very purpose that the Lord Jesus Christ in you will glorify his name on the earth. The world out there is desperate to see the living Christ living in his fullness in the church in these last days, if ever anything is to change or happen. That is why God is going to bring down these men, these ministries that are puffed up with pride and self and deceiving the people. They have made merchandise of the house of God. And God is going to bring it down. That's why he says judgment begins first in the house of God. And it's happening, brothers and sisters. It is happening. And it is fearful. These are all the signs that we're in the last days and the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has to judge his house, because there is so much ungodliness that is in it. That is why the church is Laodicean, neither hot nor cold. It's lukewarm. And he said, I will spew it out of my mouth. You do not want to be spewed, vomited out of God's mouth. No way. That is why we're yielding now to the Spirit. We're allowing him to work that deliverance, changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Do not fight the Holy Spirit. Just be passive. Just yield over to him and let him do that work in and through you. That is what he has come back for to do. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come back to you. I will make my abode. I will make my life in you. That is what salvation is about. And that is your Bethlehem experience. At Bethlehem, in that stable, when the Son of God was born. So he was born in your Bethlehem experience when you received him as Christ, as Saviour. But he came so that you decrease, that he increases. That is the good news of the gospel. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing that work in and through us. Father, help us not to fight, to resist, but to simply yield over to the Spirit. Lord, we don't want to walk independently of you, planning our own lives. Save us from all these things, Father. We can be so blinded. We can get so caught and so sucked in. Father, you're placing that hedge of protection around us. You're separating us unto yourself. Father, we thank you for our fellowship today. Thank you for brothers and sisters who come into the room. I thank you, Lord, that you have placed your heart and spirit within us. We wouldn't do this otherwise. We would just be out in the world, just having a good time. But you have come to save us from ourselves. And that is the good news of the gospel. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep each of my brother and sister till we meet again. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Of God.